And you just lift your hands and just thank the Lord. We thank you for your presence in the sanctuary today, oh God, asking you to work wonders in this house. Holy is the Lord. Holy is the Lord. Lord God Almighty, He's awesome in this place. Praise the name of the Lord. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord this morning. The Lord is good. No matter what goes on around us, the Lord is good. My optimism and my joy is not a put on. I'm more excited than I've ever been in my whole life. Because everything we've preached about and read about all of these years is coming right into play. And whatever happens in the next 4 years, I believe God is going to send a mighty revival to the church. We're going to see sons and daughters that have been lost for years come in and get saved. We're going to see deliverances like you've never dreamed. So fasten your seatbelt. It's going to happen. God's still God, and He has everything in His control. Praise the name of the Lord. At this time, we're going to dismiss our children from age 5 to 11 to Children's Church. Once again, we are having service tonight unless we send out a text to your phone. And if you're not on our text list, please give me your number. We'll put you, I have everyone under church dash your name. So we go through and send out mass text messages. And then, or you can look on our church Facebook page and it'll be announced what we're going to, if we're not going to be having service. But our intentions are, as of right now, we hear that there's going to be heavy snow, 1 to 3 inches, and that means ice over bridges. It may not happen. Amen. If you have your Bibles this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Acts, chapter number 17, I want to thank everyone who was a participant in the prayer revival. We had a prayer revival Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and what a presence we felt in this place. It was about an hour and a half, and people just came in, and some prayed the whole hour and a half. Some just came in for 30 minutes, could only come that amount of time, had to leave. That's all right. Some of you that couldn't come for whatever the reason, you were able to pray at your home at the same time. And I just believe that God still rewards them who diligently seek Him. That's what the Word of God declares. Prayer, nothing. Nothing, nothing, nothing in this world, in this kingdom, happens outside of prayer. God doesn't just do good things because we're His people. He does things because we pray. And when we pray, God moves. Now, does He give us everything we want? No. He knows what's best, and He knows what He's doing. As we have watched things unfold this week, I don't know what the future holds in the next several weeks. We don't know. But as things unfold, we voted, we pray, we do everything we can do. And then I step back and I go, oh, okay. So the Lord's allowing this and this. And I'm thinking, wow, what's He going to do? Why is He doing this? Oh, wow, this is getting exciting. Amen? Because God's in full control. Not the devil. Not the militant homosexual community. China's not in control for sure. Amen? The liberals aren't in control. God's in control. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Acts 17 and 6. One verse of Scripture here. Those of you who have sent me your name that you want to be on our prayer chain, we have 33 new prayer chain members. And last night we finished getting the team captain set up and the numbers, and we're going to be going next week. You should be getting your first prayer chain request. We're going to see if you're new on the prayer chain, we'll send your number to the coordinator. They'll send you a text letting you know that what their number is and that their name and that they're your new coordinator. And then we'll be sending out prayer chain requests. And I'm just going to ask you, if you pray wherever you are, and I know God hears our prayers when we seek the Lord. Acts 17 and 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for what we feel in the sanctuary this morning. We thank You for the Word of God, that in the midst of this wicked and perverse hour, in the midst of confusion and deception, we have your truth. We have a guide. We have a road map. Lord, you'll never fail us. You'll never leave us, nor will you forsake us. I'm asking you this morning that you would take a coal fire from off the altar, lay upon these lips of clay, and anoint me with a holy anointing that I can be as an oracle of God this morning. Pray that you'd anoint every ear that we can hear what the Holy Ghost would say to us. Change us, O God, transform us in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Acts 17 and 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. I'm going to preach to you this morning, it's time to rock the boat. Most of us have heard the terminology, don't rock the boat. What does that mean? It means please don't make them uncomfortable. Please don't stir anything up. And whatever you do, don't make any waves. Amen. I'm telling you, it's time and it's high time that the church of the living God makes some waves. We stir folk up. It's time that we open our mouth boldly and make known the mystery of the gospel. And I can tell you, truth alone will stir this world up. It's time that you and I rock the boat. I can remember as a young man being on Lake Palestine, a little bit too far out there for a small flat bottom boat, and somebody, a friend of mine, got up and he started walking on the boat, trying to scare those in the boat, almost as if he was about to tip it over. He was rocking the boat. I'll be honest with you, I can swim, but I felt a little uncomfortable. I didn't want to get wet, and it was a little bit too cold. He was rocking the boat, and it made me feel a little uncomfortable. I said, hey, don't do that. Hold up. Oh, come on. I'm telling you today, the church of the living God, we have become silent in this age. We don't talk anymore. Why? We want to be good Christians. We want to just let our light shine. Well, I'm going to tell you, there are times you have to open your mouth with the love and humility of Christ to tell this world God's as holy as he ever was. This Bible is right. Let all men be liars, but let God's word be truth. Sometimes you got to move out of your comfort zone and rock the boat with this good gospel message. As we stand for biblical truth in this wicked and sinful hour, we must rock the boat. I know what the Bible says in Hebrews 12 and 14. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Follow peace with all men. What does that mean? That means get along with your brother. You know, Jesus said, agree with thine adversary quickly, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge cast thee into the prison, and you ain't getting out till you paid the uttermost farthing. I understand you. We might not all know what a farthing is, but you get the message nonetheless. What are you saying? He's saying, don't start trouble. Don't be a troublemaker for the very cause of just being a troublemaker. But I can tell you, if you're a blood-bought, Bible-believing child of God, especially if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you are going to be one of God's troublemakers. You're going to rock the boat a little bit. If you're a blood-bought Christian, if you're going to let your light shine, you're going to make some people mad at you. Well, that's all right. Do it with humility and the love of Christ. Let them get mad. They got mad at Jesus so much, they crucified him on an old rugged cross. Ladies and gentlemen, they did it to him. They will do it to us. Remember, when men and women are armed with truth and full of the Holy Ghost, we will rock the boat. And when we're armed with truth and full of the Holy Ghost, that's when we can win the lost. That's when conviction comes. Whenever you are in the Word of God, you are sanctified. That means you're set apart. You're living right. You have a relationship with God. That's when the God can live within you, manifest out of you, and the world can come under conviction. Listen, all God needs is a mouthpiece. All he needs is a little girl full of the Holy Ghost. All he needs is a senior citizen who has not come compromised with the ways of this world. And let me tell you what will happen when you open your mouth, whenever something comes out and it's the love of God, it's the word of God, conviction strikes the sinner's heart like arrows of the Lord. I'm going to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, you can't get saved without Holy Ghost conviction. That's what we need again in this hour. Let conviction fill the house of God where sinners tremble under the power of God. And then men will be ashamed of their iniquities and they will come back to a holy God. That's the pattern of revival from the beginning up to today that we're living in. We must preach the word, preach it straight, allow the Holy Ghost to move a place that people are set apart from the world, and God, the Holy Ghost, can move again. When we can win the lost, that's what it's all about. Conviction comes whenever we're walking right, we're living according to the word of God. How do we do this? How do we win the lost? Through biblical confrontation. One thing we must establish in our minds from the very onset, I'm going to establish it from the beginning of this message, that this world is going to hate you. No, we are not a misunderstood friend, neither was Jesus. Jesus said the world is going to hate you. Listen to the words of John 15. This is a passage I read about 2 weeks after I got saved in 1996, and tears just streamed down my face because it liberated me. Listen to the words of Christ. He says, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love its own, but because you're not of the world, because I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. Jesus said, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me first. Listen to me, church. Oh, Jesus also warned in Matthew 5, beware when men speak well of you, for so did they the false prophets which were before you. Not everybody's going to like you whenever you are a child of God. When you stand up for what's in the word of God, there are going to be people who call you a bigot. They're going to call you a hate monger. I'm going to tell you, if you'll love them with the love of Christ but still stand on the word of God, you just keep on keeping on. Conviction will come. They're going to hate you. Get it in your mind. Let it be established in your spirit and get liberated for trying to please everybody but Jesus. Oh, come on, church. We need to get liberated for trying to please man instead of God. I was liberated. I didn't say I got full victory, but I was liberated that day in 1996 whenever he said, the world's not going to love you, so hang it up. Stop trying. I said, thank you, Lord. I'll stop worrying about the opinion of men, and I'll just preach the word. I'll live right. Oh, come on. It's a liberating principle when you get it in your spirit, because it tells you and I, men will never approve of us. And I want to make it clear, I'm not talking about being mean-spirited. I've seen that garbage. Someone picking or looking for a fight just for the sake of fight. I've seen Christians get on Facebook and say some of the meanest things. They're wanting to shoot anything that moves. Choose your battles very carefully. Amen. Oh, listen, I'm not talking about being mean. I'm talking about being bold. I'm talking about standing up for what is right. Oh, listen, my Bible, your Bible, cannot be compromised. And Jesus said, we are the light of the world. City that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do you light a candle and put it under a bushel. What does light do? It reveals. Why are most of the crimes in the world today, in the history of the world, committed in the dark? Because no man can see. They can hide in the shadow of darkness. But whenever the light's turned on, you get to see what's going on. Amen? That's why they don't do as much things in the light. And I can tell you, when you let your light so shine before me, and not with an arrogance, with a humility, with a right spirit, you can walk in the room and people get uncomfortable. Why? Because of the Jesus in you, the truth in you, because you don't go along just to get along. the light inside of you reveals. Oh God, I cry out to you today, let the church, let our light shine again, that men's darkness would be revealed. Push back the darkness of hell and let the light of Christ be made manifest in this wicked and perverse hour. Listen to me, to see evil and to say nothing is evil. To see evil and to ignore it is evil. Listen, the church today, our silence has become sin. Well, I just want to get along with everybody. Listen, I can tell you what that is. That's denying the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, no, you say, I'd never deny the Lord. Peter said the same thing. You say, I'd never say that I didn't know him. When Peter knew his life was in danger, he said, I never even seen the man. Whenever our reputation is in danger or our job might be in danger, we keep silent. Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before the Father and the angels which are in heaven. Our sin has become silent. It's time that you and I get up and rock the boat a little bit. It's time that you and I make somebody feel uncomfortable, not for the sake of making them feel uncomfortable, but for the sake of allowing truth to penetrate. You and I, we've listened to that garbage long enough. It's time that the church of the living God stand up and be counted with the word of God. He's as holy as he ever was. And if you're not right when he comes, you ain't gonna make it. Amen. To see evil and to say nothing is evil. The silence of the church has become sin. We must rock the boat. And when we do, one of two things are gonna happen. Either a riot is gonna take place or a revival. Every time. Whenever you open your mouth, they're going to get mad and you're going to create a riot wherever you are, or someone's going to be convicted and they're going to break down. Oh, there's nothing sweeter than whenever you speak the words of Christ and you witness to a lost sinner about their sin and about the love of God, and when the tears begin to stream down their face. I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing like it in this whole world. Whenever somebody's convicted by Almighty God and he used you as a vessel. Come on, church. I'm telling you, he ain't going to use you if you keep quiet. He's not going to use you if you don't stand up for righteousness. Amen. It's time that we open our mouth boldly, make known the mystery of the gospel. Don't be afraid to rock the boat. Conviction comes through confrontation. You hear me? I said conviction comes through confrontation. My pastor, Brother Red Taylor, oh man, what a great preacher of the gospel he was. A man of faith. Hadn't been to the doctor in 40 years. I mean, to tell you, he got convicted of Rolaids back in the 80s, and he said, Lord, I'll never do it again. Oh, he used a natural thing instead of praying and believing God. Now, he didn't preach that was a sin for everybody else. That was a personal conviction for him. But I'll never forget, 1996, he came up to me and he said, you know the story. He said, hey, you're preaching Wednesday night. Be ready. I was on the second or third pew. He just walked away from me. I almost had a nervous breakdown right there in that pew. He just came up on the platform and sat down like he enjoyed bringing me turmoil. I walked up on the platform and I said, Brother Taylor, did you say that I was preaching next Wednesday night? He said, that is right, son, and don't be late. I said, but Brother Taylor, I've never preached before. He said, son, don't worry about it. Just preach the gospel. I'm telling you, I was stressed out, worried. I prayed for 40 or 50 hours praying and reading the Bible that week. I only preached for 5 minutes. I preached on the prodigal son. I had him in and out of the father. I had him in his rebellion, in and out of the hog pen, and back in his father's arms. And 4 minutes and 30 seconds. I'm going to tell you, I preached on the love of God. But that week before the service started, I called Pastor Taylor and I said, Brother Taylor, it was a Wednesday morning. I called him that day before I was to get up and preach, and he had forgotten that he asked me. I don't tell that story very often. But I said, Brother Taylor, I'm so nervous about tonight. Oh, I said, Brother, and he said, son, listen to me. He said, you don't preach for people. You preach for God. Two people. There's a big difference in preaching. When you preach for people, you got to please people. You got to tell them what they want to hear or they're going to leave. He said, no, you're the mouthpiece of God. I'm going to say this to you today. If you're a pulpiteer or if you're a Christian, we're all preachers of this gospel. And you're not witnessing for the people. You're not telling them what they want to hear, how they want to hear it. No, we are mouthpieces of the Almighty God. And we must do what God wants us to do. It takes all the pressure off to perform and to please. When we preach, teach, witness, and live righteously, men will feel uncomfortable in their sin. I preach on alcohol. Listen to me. If you're a sipping saint in this house, you need to go home and you need to pour that stuff down the drain. Brother Matt, I don't drink to get drunk. I just sip a little wine or a little beer with my pizza. Let me tell you something. That little sip's going to lead to another, and then you'll buzz before long, and before long you're going to be a sod drunk. And my Bible said no drunkard is going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. If that's you, I pray that I'm rocking your boat today. Pour it down the drain. Get rid of it. Get the sin. That's the reason why you can't be faithful. That's the reason why you don't have any joy. That's the reason why you got one foot in and one foot out. Because you're holding on to the hand of the world and holding on to the hand of God. You're lukewarm. You're going to bust hell wide open. What about that ungodly entertainment? Some folks will get in this house and they'll sing and they'll shout the victory. They'll go home and watch filth and perversion on television. James, the book of James said, sweet water and bitter water can't flow out of the same fountain. Neither can cursing and praises. How can we listen to the songs of Zion? Oh, how I love Jesus. And then go home and listen to four-letter words on the movie or watch a sex scene. I'll tell you what's the problem. We got sin in our heart and we need to repent, get it under the blood. What about unholy attire? You don't mind if I preach on this, do you? Men and women alike. Ladies, if you wear a pair of jeans, don't wear them so tight that you're so revealing that everybody sees. Cover up. Men, the same thing. Oh, the church has preached so hard on the women that we don't say nothing about the men. The men are in the same category. If you wear a dress, don't wear it so short, ladies, that you got to keep pulling it down when you're sitting down to cover up, or you're pulling your shirt up. Or men, I'll tell you what I used to do. Oh, I went to Bullard High School, and when I used to think I was Hercules. I know that's an old terminology, but I walked around Bullard High School with my shirt off. What was the problem? I wanted women to look at me. I had a problem. If that's you in this house, get your sin under the blood today and get right with God. We don't preach a clothesline message on clothes. That's a personal conviction. But whatever you wear, don't wear it real tight and revealing. Hey, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, but at least cover up a little bit. Amen. Can I get a witness in this house? I believe everybody ought to shout over that. What about lustful thoughts? Jesus said, if you look on the opposite sex with lust in your heart, you've committed adultery with them. Oh, I'm looking and thinking, I'm just not touching. Jesus said, you're an adulterer or an adulteress. Whenever you begin to play that thing in your mind, you have committed sin against the holy God. How do I combat that, preacher? Whenever that thought comes in, my Bible said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You can cast down that thought and fill your mind with the thoughts of God. I'm trying to rock somebody's boat in this house. That's the word of God. What about that gossiping tongue? Oh, I just tell some things because I want others to pray about it. No, I can tell you why you talk so much. Because you're a gossiper and you want to tell things you shouldn't be telling. Oh, listen, if somebody in this church tries to gossip to you, Brother Matt, have you heard of anything? I haven't heard anything in a long time. So I'm not preaching. I'm not trying to call anybody out. But I can tell you, if the shoe fits, put that rascal on and wear it. Hey, man, I can tell you, if somebody comes up to you and says, hey, let me tell you what's going on. Make them feel uncomfortable a little bit. Rock their boat and say, hey, wait, let's don't talk about them. Let's pray for them. That would shock every angel in the heavenlies in some people's life. Oh, listen, don't you lean your ear to a gossiping tongue. What about that prideful heart? What about a heart? I'm trying to rock somebody's boat right now. What about that heart that has a hard time saying they're wrong to their spouse or their children? I can tell you, Dad, the most powerful thing you can do is go up to your children with a true brokenness and a humility and say, listen to me, I was wrong. I wronged you. Daddy was wrong. Don't do what Daddy did. Please forgive me. I'm going to tell you something. Ain't nothing wrong with that. I'll be called less of a man. They'll think less of me. No, no, no. They won't think less of you. They'll think more of you. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and He will lift you up. I can tell you, we need God to deal with us. What about a judgmental spirit? Is anybody, don't raise your hand. Does anybody in this house have a judgmental spirit? Do you judge everybody? Make judgments? Point at everybody else and how unholy they are? Well, I can tell you, if you point at somebody with one finger, you got three pointing back at you. That's what my teacher used to tell me. Oh, but it's true. What about that lying tongue? The Bible says in Revelation 21 and 8, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Little liars, big liars. All liars that are very cunning and crafty, and liars that are so transparent. It doesn't matter what you are. If you're a liar, you're going to hell. You need to repent of that sin. Come out from among the unrighteous, the Bible says. What about pornography? Let me just preach just for a minute to you. I'm standing on the end of the boat today. By the help of the Holy Ghost, I want to rock the boat. Mild pornography leads to hardcore pornography. Listen to me, men and women alike, it's not just a man's sin. Don't ever believe that. You read the statistics. It's also a woman's sin. It's so easily accessible today. I can tell you what pulls you in. Whenever you see something mild and you don't turn your head away. Listen, if it's the mildest thing, if they're just partly dressed, turn your head. You know what excites that flesh. And when you look too long, your eyes begin to develop an appetite and your flesh begins to get stronger over that spirit, man. And whenever the real test comes, you will fall in the secret place. It's time that we guard our eyes again. It's time that men get righteous before God and women get righteous before God. Make sure that whatever you set before your eyes is pure before God. It's time to rock the boat. Is it getting uncomfortable in here a little bit? Not in this church. They said, no way. Come on, preach it on. God has never called us, hear me. God has never called us to coexist with a sinful society. He has called us to confront it. We're not called to a life of comfort. We are called to a life of conflict. Hear me. Why did the world hate Jesus? Because He exposed their sin and He rebuked their unrighteousness. Remember, it was always law to the proud religious person, and it was grace to the sinner. That prostitute came, and you look all throughout the Word of God, that sinner out there, Jesus would open His arms and wrap His arms around that sinner, that prostitute, or that tax collector that was a thief because he had a broken heart. But to that religious man that thought he was something when he wasn't, you know what He said to them? He said, you're white-walled sepulchers. You appear beautiful outwardly, but you're full of, inside, you're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanliness. Oh, Holy Ghost, help us today not to appear beautiful before men. I want to be righteous before God, and I want to have His righteousness inside of me. Jesus exposed their sin, and He rebuked their unrighteousness. And because He did that, they nailed Him to a cross. Think about it today. He was rejected, but we so long to be accepted. He was regarded as radical, but we want to be thought of as reasonable. He was put out, but we so long to be taken in. Think about it today, church. I'm talking about wanting the approval of man versus standing up for what is right. Think about that. Is there any wonder the present day church has little or no impact on the world? Oh, come on, the early church, as our text said, what did they do? They turned their world upside down. They rocked the boat of the people around them. They made waves. They made people feel uncomfortable. But what do we want to make sure everybody everybody loves us and is comfortable with us. They turned their world upside down was the testimony from the world about the early church. That was not meant to be a compliment. Those that made the statement in this book, in the book of Acts, they were not happy with the church. And their tongue preached righteousness. Their life was righteous and conviction came. Listen, the tongue's such a powerful thing. The tongue is unruly, James says. It's full of deadly poison. The tongue is also so among our members. It's full of evil. There's life and death in the power of the tongue. The tongue can destroy, or the tongue can be used to bring life, and it can be used to bring holy conviction. Hear me today. God's called us to preach and to pray and to witness and to use our words cautiously. And that world out there wants us to keep quiet. They want us to shut our mouth. They want us to stop talking. They want the church to be muzzled. I can tell you today, they're coming against free speech. And don't you think for one moment it's because of the loose cannon of some people's mouth. No, it's all orchestrated. It's a spirit from hell to keep that. They're eventually going to muzzle the mouth of that church. But I can tell you, they may do it on Twitter and Facebook and all the social media platforms. But I can tell you, we can stand and declare wherever we are that God is still right. Righteous. Jesus is still the Son of God, and He's coming back, and He's coming back soon. Make sure that you don't deny the Lord by keeping quiet. It's time to rock the boat. Sometimes the highest compliments are paid to you and I by those who hate us the most. Have you ever wondered why John was beheaded? Have you ever wondered why Stephen was stoned and Paul was persecuted? I'm going to show you why. It wasn't because they shared the four spiritual laws with their friends. It was because they said, or they didn't just say, ask Jesus into your heart and everything's okay. That's not why they were hated so much. They suffered because they rocked the boat. They suffered because they brought forth waves and they made people uncomfortable. First of all, let's look at John the Baptist. His preaching dealt with everyday life and delved into everyday sins. To the repentant tax collector, he said, do not collect any more that's required of you. To the contrite soldier, he said, be content with your wages. To the religious hypocrites, he called them a brood of vipers. To Herod the king, surely he must have eased up a little bit on the king. He didn't. Or some preachers, when they find out somebody's in the house, they'll scratch off a certain part of their notes. And they won't say that because they know that person's going to get mad about it. I can tell you, John the Baptist, he didn't worry that Herod was there. Yeah, I can tell you what he preached to Herod. He looked at Herod and he said, Herod, it's not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. I wonder how many marriages are blessed by the church and sanctioned by most clergy, but is adulterous in the eyes of God. Hear this preacher today. I'm not your judge. You judge yourself and you will not be judged. Listen to me. John the Baptist rocked the boat. So what did they do? They cut off his head. Brother Taylor used to say there's only one Baptist in the Bible and they cut his head off. He loved Baptists. Hey, that was a joke. He loved the Baptist people. Amen to the amen. He loved them. He loved them. He loved them. Listen to me. It was Brother Burt Clendenin who said this. He said, I cannot help anybody until I wound them. What was this preacher saying? He was basically saying this. I cannot help you until you know the sin and depravity of your own heart. If everybody thinks they're all right when they're not going to get any help. It's only when we get convicted by the power of the sweet Holy Ghost of God. That's when and only when we can be ashamed of our iniquity and be saved. Only when our preaching, our teaching, and our witnessing expose the guilty will we see true repentance. What about Stephen? A man used by God to work many miracles. But then in his life, opposition arose. Why did opposition arise? Because his testimony was a threat, and his message was a menace to the religious establishment. I can tell you, it's not the sinner most of the time that will come after you. It's that religious world out there. Oh, listen to me. Oh, they threw him out of the city. You know, he preached the word of God, and the Bible said that they gnashed on him with their teeth. They were pricked to the heart. They were convicted. Listen, you have one of two responses when conviction comes. He pricks the man's heart, and that man or woman, boy or girl, they come to the altar. They see. They're convicted. They know that God has their number. They know they're wrong, and they respond. They humble themselves. Or when a person's pricked, they harden their heart. They resist the Holy Ghost, and they seal their own fate. Let me tell you something today. Don't you resist the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is your only help and hope of making eternal life. The Holy Ghost and conviction is not your enemy. The Holy Ghost is your best friend. Holy Ghost, keep dealing with Matt Gregory's heart, because he does. Keep convicting me and showing me my life in the light of the Holy Son of God. I'll repent. I'll get it right. Lord, thank you for forgiveness and conviction. He convicts me. He does it all the time. Brother Matt, do you have everything together? Absolutely not. I don't have any willful sin in my life, but if something pops up, I repent, turn from it, get it under the blood, and God is well pleased. Is he well pleased with your righteousness? No, no, no. My righteousness is as filthy rags, but I want to walk in the righteousness of the Son of God. Stephen was thrown out of the city, and they begin to stone him. And here's what he said: Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's love right there. Think about it. He's being stoned to death. They're murdering him. He looks up and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. The Bible said that Saul of Tarsus was witnessing. He was holding the coats of those that were stoning Stephen. And I believe, this is my personal belief, I believe that Saul of Tarsus heard Stephen pray that prayer. I believe whenever he was holding those coats, remember Saul imprisoned and killed Christians. He was holding the coats. He was enjoying the display whenever they were killing Stephen. And whenever he heard Stephen say, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Could it be that Saul could not shake Stephen's sermon? Could it be that Saul could not shake the love of God manifested within a heart of a man that's being killed? I have my right to say anything I want as they do it to me. No, you don't have any right to do anything. You lost your rights when you came to Jesus. You're not in control. I'm not in control. He's Lord of everything, and we must allow him to have control of our life. Could it be that Stephen's dying prayer availed for Saul? I believe holy conviction overtook Saul because somebody rocked his boat. What about Paul? Someone come to the piano this morning. What about Paul? When Paul was in Caesarea, Felix and his wife sent for him. They heard about Paul's preaching. Man, that guy, he was already a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had the Old Testament law memorized. He knew, this man was brilliant. And then he got saved. And the power of God began to operate in Paul's life. His name was Saul. It was changed to Paul. Felix heard about the miracles and the power that was operating in Paul's life. So Felix and Drusilla, his wife, wanted to hear this man preach. They wanted to hear and see the demonstration of the power of God. It says in Acts chapter 24, in verse 25, Paul's preaching to Felix and Drusilla. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I'll call for thee. He's trembling. He's under conviction. Paul the apostle chose his message very carefully. Do you know why? Because Felix was in sin. Historians tell us that Felix was living in adultery. When he met Drusilla, she was married to another man. But Felix, being overwhelmed by her beauty, wanted her for his wife. And he got her. He broke up a home. It's snowing outside. Don't look. And Felix responded whenever he comes under conviction. That's enough for now. Stop, Paul. That's enough. I'll call you for another time. What was it that John, Stephen, and Paul had in common? They rocked the boat. And I'll tell you something else they had in common. They all eventually lost their life as a martyr because of that mouth. Be careful what you say. You say, well, preacher, why can't I just be a good Christian and just wait for the Lord to come and love everybody and let those loud-mouthed bold ones, let them do the work. I'll do this work over here, loving everybody. You can do both. Why must you rock the boat? It all goes back to souls. It all goes back to souls. Confrontation, when it's coupled with love and anointing, brings conviction. And when a man or woman, boy or girl, is convicted, they'll tremble like Felix, and they'll have one of two responses. They'll become hard and push away and wait for a better time, or they'll respond and they'll come to an altar and they'll fall down on their knees like you did one day and I did one day, and they'll ask Jesus into their heart and they'll say, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm lost and undone without you. I'm everything that preacher said I was. I've done everything he said, and I'm asking you, oh God, to save my sin-sick soul. And let me tell you what happens in the realm of the Spirit. God, the Holy Ghost applies the precious blood of Jesus to your life, and he makes you clean and pure before the angels. Let me tell you something. What is the purpose of rocking the boat? Under humility and love and conviction, the purpose is that men and women, boys and girls, would see and come to God. I'm telling you, the passion of God is souls. Do you want to know what the heartbeat of God is today? That every woman, boy, girl on this planet gets saved. Do you hear me? Can we stand? Millions upon millions upon millions today are racing toward judgment. They're going to hell. Millions upon millions. Jesus said, wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, but straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. Few there be that find it. The masses are going to hell. That's a fact. But to think that you could stop just one, to think by making them feel uncomfortable. How do you equate making somebody feel uncomfortable with love, preacher? The truth. When you love somebody, you'll tell them the truth. If somebody was racing towards, they were on a train and they're about to go over a valley, then it was a major drop-off. Someone had blown up the bridge and you knew about it. Can you imagine justifying not telling them because you don't want to upset them? You had access to a cell phone, and that conductor was several miles away, and you were coming up the other side, and you knew that that train's about to go over the tracks, and you had the mindset, well, just must be the will of God. If they go over the tracks, why wouldn't you tell them? Well, I don't want to upset everybody on that train. That could upset people. They might not like me anymore. They might call me names. They might call me a religious fanatic. I don't want to be called that. That's the same thing. It's even worse to see evil and to say nothing. To see evil and do nothing, say nothing is evil. God's waiting on us. He's waiting on us. He loves souls so much. I close with one more passage of Scripture, Romans 1 and 14. Here's what Paul said. Listen, every one of us are saved by the blood. If you're truly born again today, you're saved by the grace and the mercy and the blood of Jesus. You didn't merit that salvation. And you, of course, when we come to God, we come with empty hands. He saves us. It's a free gift. But you know you owe something after that? I'll tell you, I'll read it to you. Paul the Apostle said in Romans 1:14, I am a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. What does that mean? That means that you now owe the sinner something. You owe them. You owe them the truth of God's word. You owe them the love of Christ. You owe them telling them the truth. Those that their mind has been darkened by the god of this world. Their eyes have been blinded by the god of this world. You owe that Greek or that barbarian. You owe that sinner out there. Don't you dare keep quiet. This is the hour of the favor of the Lord. This is the time for revival. This church is about to explode with revival. I just feel the rustling in the mulberry. We need to get ready. Buckle your seatbelt. You're about to be called to help as the souls come in, hurting, lost, and dying souls. Listen, church, we need to get about the Father's business. He's about to save the lost on a degree, and that is the heartbeat of God. You're a debtor. You better rock the boat. I must rock the boat. I will answer to God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, I'm asking you to forgive me today first. Oh God, there have been times I did not want to go that route. There are times I wanted to avoid it because I did not want to make waves. I didn't want to make anybody uncomfortable. I'm asking you to forgive me, Lord. I owe them the truth. I owe them the light. I owe them the remedy for sin. I owe them the love of God. Forgive me, Jesus. Forgive this congregation, Lord. Help us today in your precious name. Can we come? I want us to stand. You're going to have, there's a lot of people here today. We need to stand even in the pews or up against the wall, but come in as closely as you can. We're going to lift our hands towards heaven. Why do we come to the altar? We come to the altar because this is where it is sealed. We're going to find a way to create more altars up against the walls, and sometimes we won't have enough for everyone, but I can tell you, the altar is an emblem. An emblem. Someone says, we took the altars out of the church because our church was growing so much that we needed plenty of pews. We'll take the pews out before we take the altars out. The altar is everything. It's everything. If we cease to pray, we cease to live. This is where the deal is sealed, right here, as we lift up our hands in prayer. Can you ask the Lord to forgive you today? For not rocking the boat, for not making anybody uncomfortable, for just wanting to get along. I'm not saying start a fight. I'm not saying be mean-spirited. That's the wrong way to do it. That's sin in itself. I'm talking about with the love of God, with a tear in your eye, making known the mystery of the gospel to the waiter, the waitress, the young lady that's checking you out at Brookshire's or Walmart, the young man pushing the carts in. Oh, come on, church, that person at Lowe's that helps you find something. It's time to be an oracle of God, to open our mouth. We don't have much time left. Jesus is coming soon. It's somebody's son and daughter, somebody's mom and dad. Church, we must pray. We must preach. We must witness. Can you lift your hands? Let's just ask the Lord, help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost. Help us, Holy Ghost.
I'm not ashamed to speak for holiness, and I will give my all for Him who loved with such unselfishness. This world is not my home. I'm only passing by. to speak for holiness, and I will give my all for Him who loveth such unselfishness.